Good morning. How's everyone? Good? That's a good answer. That's good. All right. This morning I have the privilege of speaking on wisdom for 21st century Christians. So it's an awesome topic and it's titled Silver Tongues. So before I get right into it, I would love us to pray together. So if you would bow your heads with me, that'd be awesome. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you, that we can rely on you, that we can think of you here this morning at Berwick Anglican. We thank you that you are good to us, that you love us, and that you speak to us. Help us be attuned to your word and to your spirit here this morning. We pray that you would have our hearts and that you would grow us for the glory of God. We pray these things in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cool. I want to start off this morning with a statement, and then we'll go right into its implications for faith and for life. So here it is. Reality is shaped by the power of words. Let me repeat that. Reality is shaped by the power of our words. How so? This is established in two main ways. Number one, the Bible actually shows us this. It shows us that words hold tremendous power. And number two, our experience of life also shows us this. It displays this for us. And this is also so incredibly true. And so, obviously, God thinks highly of words. Like, it's a big deal to God. And so we should try and get a sense of that here this morning as well. After all, one of the main ways God has communicated to us is through the Bible and what it testifies to. He's communicated to us through words. So we can agree that God speaks. Words hold weight. Words are important. And that's kind of a big point of where we're heading down this morning. So with this said, I'm again super excited to dive right into it. These are two great ideas that we're going to look at in the book of Proverbs. And believe me, Proverbs talks heaps about words. It is saturated with words. So we have a lot of resource to draw upon. But first, I would love us to unpack this particular verse found in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. So if you're able to turn there now, if you have a Bible, it's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. It tells us, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." To summarize, one who is speaking in faith and wisdom and love is of high value rather than of little value. What especially stands out here in this particular verse is that it's actually all about the heart. In fact, much of the Proverbs we find are about the heart and its relation to words. Proverbs is saturated with this theme. It is hard to kind of overlook. So verse 20 here that we've just read over explains that the tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. Choice being pure, precious, or best, like the best kind of silver. That's the imagery that we see from this text. And then it continues by letting us know that a wicked heart is of little value. Makes sense. And the point being is that what comes from our tongue comes from the overflow of our hearts. We can see that correlation between the two here. So, what is in our heart is the question we must ask ourselves here today. That is the question we're going to look at. Hopefully it's a good journey for all of us. So, Jesus himself saw this as a big deal. He said, he talked about the heart. If you look through the Gospels, Jesus saw the heart as a priority. He saw it as the source of what comes out of our mouths. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45, affirms just this. Let me read it for us. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So the tongue works with the state of one's heart. Jesus taught us this. We can see that right speech is the fruit. That is the result of a good heart. But a broken and wicked heart can show to be useless, producing hurt, hurting others, tearing down the things around them. And I think most of us would not prefer to have that result, or to be affected by that very result. Proverbs 23 verse 7 tells us this. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And Proverbs 4:23-24 continues this very theme. And it tells us clearly what to do to avoid this massive problem of misusing words. Now let me read it for us. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. So notice here that words are never detached from our hearts. It's quite clear from the text. So what must our response be to knowing this? This is what we can think about. I think it's worth our time. So, yeah, let me try and illustrate it for us. I love this movie. It's about 10 years old now. It's called Mean Girls. All right. So some of you might know it. Some of you might not. And there's this woman who also acts in the movie, but she also has written much of it. Her name is Tina Fey. And so she wanted to explore this theme. And she says, what was the biggest deal to me was the tortures that teenage girls inflict upon each other. So she wanted to focus on that as the movie was made. But what I love most about the movie is that it actually displays how much words can tear down others. But even more so, we can find out their motives a bit. We can get a bit of a feel for it. Like the actual heart behind a lot of these characters' actions we find in this movie. There is something deeper going on beyond those words. There's hurt. There's a heart issue there. So I love that movie. But another movie I love, and this one I used with the earlier service, and this is in regards to the movie Back to the Future. Also an epic movie. But what we see here is the stereotypical bully. His name is Biff. Typical bully name. If your name's Biff, it's all good. But just clarifying. And what happens is he is really mean to this guy named George, who is Marty McFly's father. He forces him to do his homework. He basically bullies him with his words. And then we have Marty McFly, who actually does the opposite. He goes around and he builds others up with his words. He goes back to the future or back to the past. It's all very complicated in that movie. But he literally changes the situation around him for the better. He uses the gift of words for good. So both these characters in this movie display the power of words, just to give us a bit of an idea of their impact. Now, I want us to think hard for a minute, because I believe with what I'm about to say is true of each person here. So we're all in this boat. And the question is, who here has been hurt by words? Who's been hurt? I think we've all been hurt. And those moments aren't forgotten easily. They're tough to go through. That's a part of life. And so my point is, hurt can occur frequently through words. It happens in the playground with kids. Maybe you remember as a kid, maybe you have your own kids who come home and feel the weight of words. It happens throughout high school, happens in the workplace. Words have the ability to tear down. And the other thing I would like to say, and I hope that all of us would own up to it in our hearts, is that who here has hurt others by their words? That's a tough pill to swallow, to say I've hurt others. But we should acknowledge our need for a changed heart. And I know personally I struggle with words. It's a big deal in my life. I tend to be an external processor. So I'm one of those people that think out loud, and that's the way I process things. That's the special kind of people. There's nothing wrong with this, and nor is there wrong with the opposite for those who internally process things. But I'm saying I find myself speaking before I think, and that can get me into trouble, and that makes me reflect on the state of my heart. And so we're all different, but the point is, haven't we been there before? We've been in those places. It can be pretty bad how we tear down people. And so this is true for many of us. Now, at the very same time with all of this, let's not forget that words can be so incredibly powerful to build up. Words can be a beacon of hope, of light. They can do so much with the people around you. Let's not forget, part of our purpose is to enact God's love through our words, through that power that God gives us with. For the glory of God. It's an awesome gift that we should use for the benefit of the people around us. So once again, words are a massive deal to God. I think we're establishing this theme here. Words have power for good, power for evil, power to build up, and power to tear down. And it's all connected to our heart. It is all connected to our heart. It's a heart issue. Proverbs isn't about mere behavior modification. It's not just about doing the right thing on the outside, but it's about the story behind the actions. It's about something deeper. And after all, didn't Jesus say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself? He didn't just say, love God with your words and love people with your words. He said it's about the heart. He went right to the heart. And he tells us the way to fulfill these commands of loving God and neighbor. It's through a transformed heart. It's through a change in one's heart. A heart that loves God. A heart that loves the people around them. So God's purpose for you can be achieved through the power of a changed heart. I began this morning by stating that reality is shaped by the power of words. And that God's word tells us this. It shows us this. That our experience reflects this. That it's all quite evident. So I have to ask if you've ever wondered if your words carry power. If you have a heart and you can communicate, if you're a human being, then your words do possess a lot of power. They really do. Are you willing to use that power to glorify God, the God who created words, the God who created you, and set you apart for his purposes? Now back to the question of the heart. We can see the need for change. We can see the need for hope and guidance. And so at the same time, we should see the need for Jesus to come and shape our heart and our words. He has got to be the person who shapes us. God's Son in the flesh. The Spirit of God. Reliance upon God. It's a huge deal. We must know that Jesus keeps his promises. This is something we can glory in and have assurance in. He fulfills this particular promise found in Ezekiel 36. This promise to God's people. Let me read it for us. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Jesus offers us a new heart, a new life. And he can come into our life and give us a renewed heart, life, and mind. And so we need to be ready to respond to God's call. We need to be up for that. And that's a tough thing to just go for sometimes. But God does not leave us alone. He wants us for his purposes. I thought that it would be helpful to go through just a few of the Proverbs about words. Where you can just reflect on for a little bit. Because there is so much. There is way more. Like if you go through Proverbs, trying to look for words and the power behind it and the heart, you'll be there for a very long time. And that's a good thing. We need time in the Bible, right? So I'm going to go through a few verses And I want us to see how this actually shapes the reality of our life. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 tells us, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 tells us, "Gracious words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Proverbs 15, 26, "The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight." Proverbs 17, 27, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered." And Proverbs 18, 4, "The words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream." And I love this one found in Proverbs 18:21, something that echoes what the Apostle James said. And it is that the tongue has the power of life and death. And Proverbs 21:23 says, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." That makes sense. So that's powerful stuff that we see from God's word. And I love how someone that most of us know is Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, actually said something that kind of sums up a lot of what we've been talking about. He said it so well. He said, "The heart of a fool is in his mouth, but the mouth of a wise man is in his heart." That's pretty good if you ask me. And I think that reflects, I guess, a need for God to change our heart. A need for being careful with our words, using God's wisdom. So let's be reminded not just of the power of words, but God's ability and power to change our hearts. God, our Creator, Creator of words, says use this power for good, power to build up people. He gives us this. He gives us the resource. He gives us His Spirit to do this. And so can we use this gift for the gospel's sake? In our community, in our home, with our friends, can we use it on Facebook? Are we wise with what we're saying? There are so many avenues where we can be wise about our words and rely on Jesus to change our heart. Can we trust Proverbs to give us wisdom? Absolutely. And even more so, because I love what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. He actually says, "Now someone greater than Solomon is here, talking about himself. Jesus affirmed the word of God. He affirmed Solomon's teachings in Proverbs. But he says, "Come to me. He will give you guidance, the greatest guidance." And so that's really, really good news for us. In closing, I want to put a challenge to all of us. That might feel a bit scary if I say the word challenge in church, but hopefully it's a good thing because I think we're all up to it. So let me begin by telling you. I think God is pressing forward and challenging us to intentionally build up the people in our lives. I would love us to build up one person a day for a week. I feel like that's a great challenge for the week ahead. And if you want to do more than one person, like if you want to build up more than one person a day, go for it. Like no one's going to say don't do that. I think we can do this as a church. I would love to see the feedback next week. You can come chat to me, chat to one another, keep each other accountable in doing that. You can see the impact of your words on your family and friends. And I think that's awesome. So this is a huge opportunity for us to intentionally show others God's grace and kindness towards people. So Romans chapter 10, verse 10 tells us this. It says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So we can trust Jesus to change our heart. He gives us salvation and we trust him for that. So we can trust him when it comes to the matters of the heart. And that is really, really good news. And I hope that our prayers over the week actually reflect these psalms that I'll talk to you about now. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's awesome. And to go on from that, Jesus gives us assurance in such an awesome way in the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And enough said. It's right there. So we have so much to reflect on, and church is an awesome place to do that. Your week, I'm sure you guys can find time to do that. And so, in ending, I would love to pray for us as a church, and ask God to work in our lives. So if you would join me in doing that, thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you with our burdens, with what's going on in life, and that we can rely on you to love us, to guide us, to give us peace. We thank you that you're a God of love, a God of wisdom, a God of instruction, and a God that never leaves us. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and how it is guiding us throughout our week. Help us take this challenge to love people intentionally, to think about how you can work in those situations. Would you build us up with your words as we seek to build others up with our words? We thank you that you work through these situations. Lord, we pray that we would trust you for the week ahead, and that we would be focused on the glory of God with our actions and with what we do with our lives. And we thank you for all things in Jesus' name.